The following podcast is brought to you by David Hayes. He is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through JW Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and JW Cole Advisors. JW Cole Financial, JW Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by David Hayes and his guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and is not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of losing principal. Any tax advice on this show is not intended to be used by any person for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties may be imposed on such a person, and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. David Hayes and his guests are not providing legal or tax advice. Nothing should be construed as solicitation or an offer to buy securities. You're listening to 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Win with David Hayes. David has been providing financial advice for over 25 years and is the host of Your Money with David Hayes radio show and podcast. He has been featured in high-level publications such as The Wall Street Journal, Kiplinger's, Fox Business, Forbes, and more. Join your host as he talks about his book, 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Win, an Amazon Daily bestseller. And now, here's David Hayes.
Welcome to the new podcast, 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Know to Win. Of course, that is a metaphor on my football playing and coaching days, because time is ticking, time is running out, the time to go is now. We're going to illustrate that today in the podcast that, man, is time ever ticking, because the 2017 tax cuts, yes, they're set to expire at the end of 2025, giving us a real opportunity to act now, and save ourselves from taxes destroying our retirement accounts before they go up for good. So have you heard about this Inflation Reduction Act of 2022? Well, let's take you on a little journey of how we came to where we are today. It started off really big. The legislative journey of the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022 started with Bernie Sanders, believe it or not, big surprise, in June of 2021. He pushed for a 10-year social spending package projected to include $6 trillion. Yes. Trillion of outlays over a decade-long period. His proposal followed the American Rescue Act, a $1.9 trillion spending bill that was signed into law by President Biden back in March of 2021. You know, I've said this many times before in public settings that, you know, we used to gag and choke over billion-dollar packages. And I thought, you know what? As soon as a trillion was floated and everyone accepted it, that it would be so much easier to pass the next trillion-dollar spending bill. And boy, was I right. But then it got reduced in size. Within 2 months, the original $6 trillion spending idea was trimmed to a lowly $3.5 trillion. That was called the Build Back Better Act, the BBB plan, versus the IRA plan, the Inflation Reduction Act. Why would someone mess with these acronyms? Like IRA, that's an individual retirement account, right? Not an Inflation Reduction Act. Well, whatever. So the original $6 trillion was trimmed back. You had a 3.5, and it was like 2,400 pages long. It would impact federal income taxes, education, social welfare, and if yes, the word of the day, climate change, and yes, foreign policy. So that all was back, you know, few months ago, like August of 2021. So a year ago, I guess, when you do the math. So then it got even smaller. Senator Joe Manchin effectively shut down that $3.5 trillion proposed structure when he drew a line in the sand and said, no more than $1.5 trillion. That's the maximum 10-year spending size that he could support. Back in September, the New York Times article that was out described the $3.5 trillion BBB, Build Back Better Act, as a cradle-to-grave expansion of the U.S. social welfare safety net. But what about now? Recognizing that the Build Back Better was stalled in Congress, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi forced her members to make tighter decisions. The result? It moved the page document from 2,400 down to around 2,100. Can you imagine what's in a 2,100-page document? What kind of gotchas are in there? But anyway, they scored a win, as they called it, at $1.75 trillion over 10 years. That kept electrical vehicles subsidized, free pre-K education, a corporate minimum tax, but eliminated paid leave, free community college, and expansion of Medicare. So the House passed this Build Back Better thing in November of last year, in spite of the House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. 8-hour speech. I've never sat through more than a 1-hour speech, and that was usually my own, protesting that the legislation would send the country into an economic tailspin. However, the $1.75 trillion Build Back Better bill stalled in the Senate, never coming to a vote. But like most things in Washington, it's like whack-a-mole. Things just keep coming back over and over and over. And if they keep coming back over and over and over, they're likely to pass at some point. Like, for instance, the elimination of the inherited IRA as we knew it. You know, back in the old days, you would inherit a retirement account. I could stretch it over my lifetime. That's why we called it a stretch IRA. But no more, right? The new rules came out back in the Obama administration when it first came up, and people like kind of liked the idea of not allowing someone to stretch an IRA over their inherited lifetime, but yet to take it out immediately. Well, then it was squished. Now it's take it out over a 10-year period or within 10 years and all that, which, you know, that's for another discussion. But it's back. So to many surprised in Washington, it resurfaced in July of this year. The result of a closed-door negotiation, right? Isn't it crazy that just a few people make all the decisions for all of us? Between Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and Senator Joe Manchin. The newly named now Build Back Better is now called the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022, including $433 billion of spending offset, they say, by $739 billion of new revenue. Of course, raised through that 15% corporate minimum tax, prescription drug pricing reform, increased IRS enforcement, and the elimination of the carry interest taxation by hedge fund managers. Wonder who's giving the donations, right, to these folks, because carried interest, that's a no-brainer, but nope, that got nixed. So how are they calling this inflation reduction? Because anytime you inject spending and borrowing and debt, we found that out during the pandemic, right, where so many trillions of dollars got in, and it was like, yes, this is going to be inflationary. You can't pump that much money into the system and not have inflation. They wanted to deny it, but it was there and it's here and it's probably here to stay for a while. But how do they say Inflation Reduction Act? Well, they say that they're going to have enough income coming in, which would be you giving it to me. So therefore, that's out of the system. That's not going through the multiplier effect, which would create inflation. At more than what we're sending out. So that's why they think it's an Inflation Reduction Act. Whatever you think, I don't even care. I'm just saying, when I hear the word spending, debt, and borrowing, I know that there's only one outcome, higher taxes. So there's a bunch here, right, in this new Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. I know you can laugh out loud if you'd like. But what worries me is the more audits, right? That's one area they hope to pick some up. So they hope to pick some up in the corporate minimum tax. They think that will be around $258 billion over the next decade. They think allowing Medicare, which I think is a great idea, to negotiate directly with drug companies. They already do it with doctors, right? They're basically raping our healthcare system by not paying. What happens is they don't pay anything for this heart procedure, so those on private insurance have to make up the rest. It's going to come from somewhere. Insurance is like budget reconciliation. If you get it over here, then you're going to have to give it up over there. The money's going to come from somewhere. So they're going to negotiate the prescription drugs. Maybe that'll bring down the prices for us that are not on Medicare. I don't know. But more audits. The Inflation Reduction Act includes $80 billion over the next decade for the IRS. Money that will be used to hire 87,000 new IRS employees, most of it enforcement agents, right, that are trying to enforce things. The upgrade in the agency's technology, much needed. If you tried to file a paper tax return in the last, you know, few years, you know it might still be sitting on someone's desk waiting to be processed. What does that mean? Literally, you have a guy or gal that takes your paper return, puts it in front of them, gets in front of their computer, and re-inputs it all into the computer. That's the way the technology is now. I was just with a guy that works for us that shows me how he scanned a handwritten document, an Adobe thing, and it turned into a PDF. He then emails it to himself and it uploaded into our database. Boom. But the IRS, no, they're not that technologically savvy, I should say. But this $80 billion is supposedly going to upgrade that. And it needs it for sure. But they think that we're going to spend $80 billion and it's going to bring in $124 billion of new tax revenue. That's kind of close math. You know, when I say I'm going to spend $80 billion in hope to bring in $124 billion, we'll see. That's why this entire Inflation Reduction Act, just like every other piece of legislation that goes through, they project things out. It's always a hope and a prayer, and they're never right. They always project low on the cost side, right? Way low on the cost side and way high on the income side. So I'm just saying, folks, that we're sitting currently $30 trillion in debt, $31 trillion in debt. Trillion. No one knows what a trillion is. You've heard me talk about if $1 equaled a second, $1 million would equal 11 and a half days. $1 billion would equal 32 years, and $1 trillion, 32,000 years, and we're over $31 trillion in debt, almost $31 trillion as I record this episode. That's like a billion years. I was looking a few things up, like, do we know of anything that's a billion years old? Well, scientists say Earth was formed 4.6 billion years ago, right? So I'm like, okay, so $30 trillion is like $1 billion or billion years, 1 billion years. It's like, come on. They say the Earth was formed 4.6 billion years ago. They say that Christ was born 2,025 years ago. Christ lived on this earth 33 years, led a holy life in poverty, and then suffered and died for our sins. This debt is unsurmountable. Unimaginable. Maybe it's going to take the rapture to take care of it all. And no one will even care. No one will have to pay the monetary price, but maybe the ultimate sacrifice to get out of all this debt. Wow. Is this for real? It's for real, folks. They're going to try to get this under control. As I record this episode tonight, I will be having a meet and greet with the Senator Todd Young from the great state of Indiana and the soon to be Congress lady from the 9th district, Erin Hushin. And I will absolutely, because I'm doing the introduction, I'm going to bring this up that no one understands what kind of mess we're in. I mean, we're talking about like 4 BC is when Christ was born. That is 2,025 years ago. AD, the Latin word for the year of our Lord. We think of this as like being so ancient, right? But when you talk about a billion years ago, that's the, I think they call it the Mesozoic age or something. That's where they say we had dinosaurs and all kinds of crap running around. That was a long time ago. So when you relate dollars to years, it puts it in perspective that, gosh, this thing is so huge. How are we going to ever get out of it? I don't think we ever will, but we're going to try. And the way we're going to try is they're going to say we need to raise more revenue. And where is the low-hanging fruit? Well, you named it. It's in my retirement account, money that's never been taxed. I just met with someone earlier who was sending a big check to the IRS. They said, they are the most expensive partner I have, the IRS. Well, that's not going to change. And for all of us who believe the narrative that we're going to be in a lower tax bracket when we retire, when we take these monies out of the 401ks and IRAs, the script has flipped and you need to act now. What I mean by acting now? Get out of the crosshairs of higher taxes by putting your money away today at the known tax rates, right? Let it grow tax-free. Do Roth conversions. Move that money from that taxable to tax-free. Who cares if it's at 22, 24, even 37%? The math is not on your side. And if you're late in the game, just do the best you can, because at the end of the day, what we want is choices. I want to choose where I take my money. I want to choose what money I pay my taxes on. And if you don't do this, then you're not going to have any say, because they're going to say, when you take it out, this is how much of it is ours, and we don't know what that amount will be. And oh, by the way, if you haven't taken it out, you're going to have to start taking it out, and we're going to tell you how much, which those rules could change, and how much of it is ours. If you didn't learn anything from the last three episodes with Martin James on here talking, about where we are, what we need to do, and how obvious it is to all of us who understand math, maybe this should be your last episode to listen to. Not really. Keep listening. It's a lot of fun. Hey, let's end it with this. If you'd like to talk about how we can help you navigate these complicated issues, go to cfci.us and contact us to set up your complimentary call or give us a call. Use the old-fashioned telephone, 812-334-3190, and I promise we will make it happen. Have a great one, everyone. This has been 2025, The Final Drive, what you need to know to win.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. The clock is ticking. Each decision that is made today will put more money into your pocket or leave you worried about your financial future. The time to prepare is now. The time to eliminate risk was yesterday. Let's partner to help those around us to make decisions that empower their financial future. If you would like to book David for a speaking event, please contact CFC at cfci.us. You can purchase his book, 2025, The Final Drive,